Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the HR Room Podcast by Insight HR. Today we have another episode in our Back in Business series guiding HR teams and professionals through the challenges and outlook for the next stage in the world of work. On this episode, we'll be talking about something that I know will be on the minds of HR teams everywhere as they plan for 2022 and beyond, investing in learning management systems. For this, we're delighted to be joined firstly by Chris Elliott, Head of Marketing at Involve. Thank you for joining us, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And as always, we're also joined by our very own Mary Cullen, Founder and Managing Director here at Insight HR. Hello, Mary.
Good morning, Nung.
So I'll dive right in if I may, and I'll come to yourself first, Chris. So let's jump right in. So what kind of questions should HR teams and organizations ask themselves when they're investing in learning management systems? What are the key considerations?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something we ask ourselves a lot. But I think probably the first thing before that is coming back to asking themselves what their main challenges are, I guess. There's sort of two parts to this. Some of the common challenges we would see for our audiences, which tend to be manufacturing organizations, food and beverages, also similar companies like logistics, storage and distribution, those sort of companies. But some of the questions they should be looking at, what challenges such as in recruiting and retaining staff, identifying and closing some of those skills gaps in those companies are really important, because they might have staff out on a factory floor or say in a warehouse. Can't just place anybody anywhere. Obviously there's compliance and mandatory type training that's required. So, you know, what sort of challenges do they face there? Another big one, and we talked about this last week, Mary, on the conference, we talked about knowledge transfer of the workforce retiring, and how do we get that, you know, information over to our apprentices and our new employees? And so what sort of other challenges do they face around compliance, certification, auditing, accessibility? You know, how can they train, you know, not everybody sitting at a desk, for example. So how can we make sure that there's, you know, flexibility in terms of the type of training that can be delivered? These are the sort of things we want to, you know, I would recommend people address going into the questions about what should I look for in an LMS, if that makes sense. Because from there, I think it'll all come down to is, you know, are these systems then built for me, you know, or for my industry? It's one of the things that, you know, I've said it before. You know, there's a whole bunch of LMSs out there. They're a dime a dozen. If you go online and look for them, they tend to often be, I guess, for a fairly broad market or a corporate environment. So what I would challenge companies to say is, hang on, have these solutions been designed with my company, my industry in mind? So I guess moving on to the key part of your question there is, I would be, how will you help support my company, my unique mission, vision, and goals? You know, how would you help us prioritize learning development goals? You know, how will you help us to measure the value and the ROI of your platform? These types of questions, rather than feature-driven questions, which of course are important later, but it's all about how can we take value from these types of solutions, such as a learning management solution. So I hope that answers that at least for you there.
I think it's so important, Chris, isn't it, that, you know, before you go out and make an investment of that size in a system, that you really are thinking it through. And I think it's a really valuable point that you make, that, you know, what's this going to do for our organization? Not just jump on a bandwagon and find a system that actually has thousands of courses, but very little relevance to your workforce.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I guess it comes back to that. I mean, if we looked at a lot of our client base would be very large manufacturing, multi-site, global, so multi-language type of sites. So there's a lot of different departments that would be in the process of looking at our solutions. It's not just, say, it's often led by HR, of course, but there's quality that comes into it. There's, you know, the C-suite as well, the senior management. There's technical, there's a IT, of course. And so value is, I guess, an incredible part of that. And it's being able to measure it. It's not just sort of loosely saying, you know, that, you know, we can provide value. One of the things we would do with our system, our customer success team would look at a report each month and looking at the value. So it's built in. How many training items are they using? How many digital signatures have they been able to capture? Because this will all save on paper. It's one of the biggest things we hear, is they're able to free up space, you know, entire rooms from filing systems. So we look at each of those little items that their employees are doing, employees and managers are doing it in the system, and say, you know, here's the value that you're seeing across the board, across all of your sites. So I think that's the most important thing, to be honest with you.
For yourself, Mary, L&D is something that's jumped to the fore again during the pandemic, as organizations look to, I suppose, upskill their teams, and individuals themselves continue to see the value in learning, developing, that kind of thing. How do you think the pandemic has changed the scene for learning and development over the past number of years?
We've had people, I suppose, scramble over the course of the pandemic to bring L&D online. So while learning has always been important for organisations, we've seen a change in terms of how our client base have dealt with it over the course of the pandemic. Of course, learning management systems have been there pre-pandemic, and many organisations already had them. But during the pandemic, people started investing in new technology with a view to making sure that learning still happened within their organizations. And that's, I think, particularly important when it comes to compliance training. And I'm sure, Chris, you can probably speak better about this than I can, but, you know, if you are in an industry that's highly regulated and you're required to carry out certain training, you had to find a way during the pandemic to do that. And that was bring it online. And I think a lot of our clients have, you know, grappled with challenges around, well, you know, we're short staffed, we've had people out sick because of COVID, we've had people self-isolating because of COVID, even those frontline workers we can't bring in together from a safety perspective, and so a lot of creativity was out there in terms of how people were curating content, how they were delivering content. And I think you've just seen a huge experiment over the last 18 months in terms of how we engage with people, how we train people, how we talk to people, how we manage people. And L&D is no different from that point of view. But I think we're probably now, with people coming back into offices, we have the opportunity for blended learning now and in-classroom training. And I think we'll see a bit more of that. But I think, you know, the way of the future is still going to be bringing a lot of that learning and development online and deciding what content should be online, what content should be curated, and what content do we need to deliver directly to people face to face. So I think there's been a big change, and I don't know if there has been a spike in people purchasing learning management systems. Maybe you could answer that better than me, Chris.
Yeah, I like what you said there before about people being creative. It made me think back to someone I was talking to from the Irish Red Cross, Joselino George. I don't think he's with them anymore, but he gave an example of where they were having to bring in a different way of training people. They would actually video it because naturally a lot of their safety training has to be done in person. It was interesting to see how other industries responded to that and can take something away from different areas, say from healthcare over into say logistics or corporate type training where factories can start to do similar things. So it's about that flexibility. But perhaps creativity, as you said, that may be a better way of putting it, being able to, ending in a different way. I guess in terms of spikes, it certainly comes down to, like for us, there's other parts of the LMS. Of course, there's the standard training type stuff and e-learning, but there's things like skills gaps, being able to identify who and when someone's trained. That's like a big compliance driver. There's also the document control. One of the things we've seen a spike in what we do with the tablet devices is people can take training straight out to the factory floor. They can sign for documents, they can show training, they can real time, so to speak, and synchronize that back to the core system. That can then be included in later blended learning. So you might be doing some coming back in to do some class-based training as well. So these things are all sort of tied to that flexibility.
It strikes me that, you know, if employees can access audio files too, I know a lot of work, you know, might be visual. You know, how do I use this Excel spreadsheet? How do I do something in particular with it? Or how do I carry out this particular process? But I wonder, you know, from an audio point of view, is at their workstation, particularly in a manufacturing environment or something like that?
I think you could be right there. It's not something that I've given a lot of thought to myself in terms of individual types of contents. We also have the class-based stuff, you know, where you've got the traditional click pads as well, popular in the factory environments. But it's a good point having different types of file formats available. You know, audio would be good, but there's nothing wrong with having mini podcasts, so that's something you do see a little bit more now. Once again, it was just a corporate thing. I think that's what it ties into for our audience, is that just because it's done in corporate doesn't mean you can't take some of those things and bring them into training environments for different types of workforces. So no, I think you could be onto something there, maybe.
If only I had an LMS system to market. But I do, because it's one of the things that has struck me. And maybe since we have been recording our own podcast, I really got into podcasts. And prior to 2020, I wasn't really listening to them, but I find it an amazing way to be on the cutting edge of what's happening in multiple different industries on different topics at different times. And of course, I have my favorites, but I do see it as an opportunity for employers to look at, well, okay, traditionally we train people face to face in the classroom and we brought people together and they had to take a day or 2 days or a week or whatever it was out of their schedules and train people. And then the pandemic came and we had to, well, lean back on our LMS systems to say, right, well, the content is there. These subjects are mandatory and you've got to do them during this period or that period. But now we have the opportunity to train people through audio, maybe through mobile text. I've heard about courses getting curated by text. I'm really curious to see, well, how would that work?
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I think it comes back to, you know, what's in it, you know, for the employee. Is this something that you want, you know, as a HR leader, an L&D leader, is this something you want for yourself? Or what's in it for the employee? The reason I say that is because we have seen a spike in the use of, say, our mobile app, where employees can take ownership of their training. But, you know, it really has to be about them making the decision to do that. You can't force employees to download company apps and do things too much in their own time. You know, that's just not really acceptable. So what can you do to, is it about them? Is it easier for them? Say, let's say if we were to use other types of training, say text-based, or if it's audio, all these new different ways of trying to reach employees. But if it's focused on them and helping them, I think that it's great. And I think that's where we see it working, where it's, you know, where there's parts of our system where companies can assign points to employees, sort of reward points, you know, if they complete so much training, if they're doing a great job, they can then allocate points for them to receive prizes and days off or something like that. So that's when they're going to say, yeah, you know what, I'll download the app if we can, you know, if there's an incentive to do so beyond just my day-to-day job. So that's where I can see those things working really well.
Yeah. I think there's real opportunity. I know, obviously, with things like chatbots and all of those things that we're starting to see get incorporated into maybe larger organizations where HR are enabling them to, you know, answer queries around annual leave or leave or general basic HR questions. And I was struck at your conference in the panel discussion I was on, which is a great panel discussion, and I recommend any of our listeners to check out the conference, because it was really interesting. And again, you're talking to, you know, people who are at the cutting edge of L&D. But I was really struck by one of the questions that was asked about, you know, robotics and, you know, chatbots and those kind of things. And really, no one on our panel had seen a whole lot around that. And it's interesting to see, you know, does cost outweigh the benefit?
That's right.
And, you know, will that all become way more accessible? You know, I see my kids do things like, you know, they have a question about something and they shout out, "Hey, Alexa, hey, Siri."
Yeah.
And it might be a historical fact they're trying to check
or
whatever, but I can find them doing that at the dinner table. And so it gives an indication of how younger people might interact with technology, you know, by shouting out, maybe in the flow of work, "Hey, whatever, how do I do this?"
That's a good point. Yeah.
Can you give me a quick tutorial on this? And, you know, isn't that really where we're, as L&D professionals, as HR people, it's all about helping someone to do their job better.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, thinking about what the future, I think that was the topic of that panel discussion, the future of L&D. I think some definitely interesting times ahead. And I know COVID is not a positive thing, but it has made people, I think, step up in some areas, step up to the challenge. And so I've seen that huge transformation even in the last 12 months.
We should put a link to the conference in the show notes here, because I think it was a really interesting discussion. You've had other interesting panel discussions and speakers as well.
Yeah, I'll catch the replay.
So we've talked about a lot of change that we've seen in LMS systems. I suppose the change we've seen over 2, 5, 10 years, the LMS system of the past looks completely different to what it looks like now. I suppose, Chris, for yourself, what should the LMS system of today be able to do? Is it things like gamification, or is it just the more kind of simple things for now?
What I would say is, coming back to that first point around value, one of the things that we're incorporating into our system is what we call the employee net promoter score, which if you know anything about consumer marketing, you will see customer net promoter scores. You know, if you've ever done a survey after you've purchased something, we apply the same thing to a workforce and say, well, how likely would your employees now recommend your company as a place to work? Once again, this is something that might have been done in corporate workforces for some time, but this is quite new to the deskless workforces, to the factories of the world, perhaps where they'd have hourly paid staff. But what we know is that they're really struggling to recruit and retain staff. And particularly if you look at, say, the likes of logistics, particularly with some of our larger clients in the UK, really going through tough times in that training and retaining of their staff. So what we do with them is we help them look at saying, well, you know, part of what we do isn't just technology, because, you know, technology solutions alone can't really solve business challenges. It's the change in employee behavior that does that. So, you know, they already have to be on this journey to want to achieve that, and we help them do that. So the employee net promoter score is quite simple. It's running surveys to see and gauge how likely it is that your employees would recommend you to other people in their network. So you can improve that by better training, better employee engagement, better employee communication. And then you can then tie in some of the new features, like whether it's gamification or when are we going to start wearing VR headsets or anything like that. That all flows from there, I believe. So seeing a lot of this stuff, talking a lot more about value, talking more about, you know, valuing employees, these are more of what we're seeing, particularly from our side, that matters with technology solutions. I hope that answers that question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, I suppose, when we're getting into these areas, there are obviously big investments, there's big changes, there's big technology happening behind all these kind of various topics for HR people. I suppose for yourself, Mary, what advice would you give to HR teams and organizations generally around investing in this kind of digital HR, things like L&D, engagement, performance recognition, those kind of things?
I think it comes back to what Chris said at the start of this podcast. You know, you have to ask yourself, why? Why do I want this? What's it going to do for my organization? How is it going to help my organization deliver on its strategy? It's not just about the investment in technology just because we hear that, you know, our other HR colleagues or peers in L&D have got something really cool and, you know, it works really well for their organization. It's really, you know, looking into its value to the business first. And then from a HR perspective, you've got to get the spend across the line, and you have to be able to present it in a language that the senior team or decision makers understand. So what is your business case for implementing new technology to deliver learning and development? And you really have to look at, you know, the blend then, you know, what's best done in person, what's best done online, and how can our people access that training and development. You know, asking people to download apps onto their personal devices is not popular. And from a HR perspective, we always struggle a bit when we're asking people to do that. So if you're going to buy a system and ask everybody to download an app, be sure that you've, you know, negotiated this with the trade unions, make sure that the employee body is on board and can see the benefit of whatever you're asking them to do. And don't make, you know, a large spend and find yourself in real trouble from that perspective, an industrial relations or an employee relations perspective, and therefore have a low take on the system. A lot of people tell me in HR and L&D that they have an incredible platform or portal, but they have a really low uptake on it. And as I say to them, it's not just the tech that matters, it's the strategy and learning culture that matters within the organization. And in order to build a learning culture, you must have support right throughout the organization for that culture, so that we understand that what we're trying to teach people is helping them to do their job better. And if your content isn't helping people to do their job better, then people won't look at it or use it or access it, and they will still go back to their industry body or to their peer who's standing beside them, or someone they can pick up the phone to, or whoever's sitting at the next desk, or Google or Siri or Alexa, and ask the question, or YouTube, and check it out themselves. So, you know, you have to really think it through very carefully in terms of your strategy, the what, the why, the how, and who's supporting it.
That's interesting. You, I like that. You need to be on that journey. If you haven't got that right, the technology on its own, the uptake zero, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and then people blame the system. Not the system. If it's frustrating for an employee to use the system because it's unwieldy, or they can't get what they need, or they have to sit through something that they've done for 3 years in a row and the content hasn't changed, you are going to get an angry, frustrated employee who doesn't want to use the system. And so often I hear that, particularly around compliance training, where managers are saying, well, look, I did the GDPR training year one. And yeah, it was new, maybe a bit dull, but I did it. Year two, it's exactly the same course. That's the refresher course. Year three, it's the same course again. Oh my God, I've done it. And I've got it year four and year five, and every year, it's never changing. Of course, you're going to turn the learner off. You've got to think about your content. You've got to think about how it's curated. You've got to think about, you know, what's the benefit for the employee. You might tick a box in L&D. You might tick a box in HR. But if you frustrate your learner, you've got a problem.
Yeah, I think that's the key takeaway from today, Mary, isn't it? It's kind of, I suppose, three key considerations that I've heard from the discussion you've had. One is that employer piece, or that employee piece, sorry, where it has to suit the learner. You can't, there's no successful learning management system without a learner that's invested in it, that's engaged in it, and that it works for them. So that's obviously a huge, the main takeaway from today. I think another thing that I picked up on from your discussions was obviously the business case. Again, as you said it very early on, Chris, don't look at the functions, the tool itself, look at the challenges that your business faces, and then pick a learning management system based on that. And I think obviously the business case, the challenges, coupled with a system that suits the employee themselves, that's the kind of key to any success. And I suppose then the third thing, and I know it's something we talk about a lot lately on almost any HR topic, is that kind of future focus kind of piece as well. A lot of things coming down the tracks. You've already mentioned, Chris, things like gamification, the visual recognition, or the voice recognition, those kind of things. So definitely a lot of things that HR teams can look to the future for when they're talking about LMS systems. So from today, look, I think lots of opportunities for HR teams and organizations to jump ahead of the curve if they know what they're looking for in an LMS. And as I said at the start of the podcast, I think this is something that teams will be looking at now, especially for 2022 in this new hybrid world, and obviously beyond as well. So thank you again, Mary and Chris, for a very insightful discussion. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe. Remember to join the discussion on our social media channels, where we'll see links we'll share from today as well. Things like Chris's involved conference, those kind of things. And as always, for HR consultancy services management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insighthr.ie. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insidehr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.